this morning. That you would ask for utterance in the opening of my mouth, and at the same time that you would set a guard over my mouth and blow away whatever is just the opinions of men, and blow it away and make it of no effect. But the portion that you have prepared, I ask you to help each one of us to take hold of it, that it would become a part of us and that it would change us to be more and more pleasing to you. We want your kingdom to come, your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, in me and each one of us, and through me and through each one of us. We present ourselves. We invite you to glorify Jesus in us and through us, Father. I ask for help, Father, that we would be caught up with your heart about each of the things that we are responsible for and the things that we are involved with. I ask you to open the eyes of our hearts and let us behold what you have done for us in Jesus. We ask you to open our eyes and let us behold your glory. We ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I just thank you. I want to say thank you first and foremost for me, but on behalf of everybody here, thank you for your abundant mercy. Thank you for the grace of God that you lavish upon us. Thank you for your patience and your kindnesses. Thank you for giving us the privilege of being involved with what you want to do on the earth. And for each one of us, wherever we may be, I thank you that you're willing to meet us where we are this morning and help us to take another step with you. And we just give thanks to you for that. Just give thanks to you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, because of the way this morning has unfolded, I'm only going to touch upon the theme that we've been working with, which is rooted in the thought that is in the scriptures called the kingdom of God. I'm going to go right away to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And even though there is a lot that would be worth reading from verse 20 onwards, where I want to draw your attention to is actually in verse 50. Okay, now in chapter 15, Paul has been talking about resurrection. And he is dealing with some of the things that were going on in the church in Corinth at the time. There were people who were saying, there is no such thing as a resurrection. We don't need a resurrection, right? And Paul was talking to them about that, and he was working with them to get them to see that is crazy talk, okay? Like, why are we preaching then that Jesus is resurrected? Why am I putting up with all the stuff I got to put up with, Paul? You know, everywhere he goes, he's opposed, either physically or at least in the spiritual sense of everybody looking at him saying, who are you? All that kind of stuff. And he says, well, why do all this? It'd be easy for me. I just have to say, no, there's no resurrection. He makes a reference to a practice that some people had. He wasn't condoning the practice. He says, well, you know, why are you then getting baptized for the dead if there's no resurrection of the dead? Like, why bother doing anything for the future if there's no resurrection? And he goes on to talk about it. But what I want to draw your attention to is actually the very last part of this dialogue. So I'm going to start in verse 50 just to give a little bit of the context. But what I'm really after is in verse 58. Okay? Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, so we've been talking about how I have framed this entire year and the teachings in it have revolved around the idea of the kingdom of God. Okay, and it what I have sought to use that phrase to represent is God's grand master plan to bring everything back to the way He wants it to be. Okay, you know that in the beginning God created everything. He looked and He saw, and His declaration was, "It is good." Okay, now that doesn't mean it was good enough. It doesn't mean, not bad. It was. This is how I want it to be. Perfect. Okay. When He says it is good, remember, this is God we're talking about. Okay. It was perfect. It was exactly how things were meant to be. And Adam and Eve and really all of mankind were designed to live in a fellowship with God that was not in any way, shape, or form tarnished, interfered with, broken by sin. But you know what happened. Adam disobeyed God, and as a result of it, sin entered the world and has poisoned everything ever since. Right? And it is my personal perspective that God wasn't taken by surprise. I think it's more than my perspective. I could easily contend for that from the scriptures. That if God was taken by surprise, we're not talking about God. Okay? God cannot be taken by surprise. And I'll say that about you. He's never taken by surprise by what you choose or don't choose to do. I never thought He would do that. Then it's not God. Then it's not God. And as an add-on to that, let me say, so therefore, whatever this plan of salvation is, it's already factored in that you would not do everything that you were supposed to do. Okay? He's not taken aback. I don't know what to do about that. What can I do? The salvation that Jesus wrought for us personally is complete in every way. Okay? And this is, when I've talked about the kingdom of God, this is this unfolding of something that is marvelous and grand and wise and brilliant in all of its details. He knows how to bring to pass everything that He wants so that the world is the way it is. Okay? And there are so many details with regards to this. And I'm not sure if it helps for me to admit this, but in my examining and looking, you're left with, how can people read the exact same passage and come to such different conclusions about what is being stated there? Now, one of the things that I have seen in my own study and considering and thinking about these things is that, you know what? Unapologetically, God does not sit down and write things in exactly the way you think they ought to be written down. He speaks, and He's wise in all that He does. And He gives instruction, He gives prophecy, He gives a revelation of things to come in a certain way that you and I can't say, actually, could you repackage that and give it to me in a way that I understand? He does it and says, now you follow me. Now you follow me. You see this, for example, one of the things that after Jesus was raised in the book of Acts, one of the things that we read there is that Jesus is raised, and you know that was an astonishment for the disciples. He's raised, He spends 40 days with them, talking with them, teaching them, and He's about to be ascended to heaven. Okay? And they ask this question, and they say, is it now that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Okay? So what was in their head about what God has to do? God has to restore the kingdom to Israel. Is it now? Are we going to do it now? What's Jesus' response? Well, let me explain to you everything that's going to happen. That's not His response. He says, it's not for you to know times and epochs, but here's what I want you to do. Okay? So what should the disciples have done? No, no, no. Until you explain everything to me in a way that I understand, we can't move forward. It's not how He does things. One of the things that I see is that, I've said this many times, but it's still worth saying it. The goal of the scriptures, as I have come to see it, is not only to inform you. It is not only to provide you with an insight and understanding of things to come. It actually is about you finding the fullness that is possible for a human, the fullness of what God is like and what He has done, and the glory of Jesus. Let me put it this way. This is eternal life, that you might know him and the one who he sent. Okay? So, inasmuch as there are things to learn and things to understand and divide, and you know, there's so many factors in it, and there's so many different points of view in it, and I find it somewhat discouraging that so many Christians have such strong thoughts about some of these things that are talked about in the scriptures and how they understand them, that they get so carried away that they therefore say, basically, if you don't agree with what I think, you are not even saved. And I find that extraordinary. Okay? We're not talking about, did Jesus die for your sins? We're not talking about, is Jesus the Son of God? Things that are pretty core and essential to what it means to be a Christian, to follow after him. We're talking about things that, even if you've got it perfectly understood or you don't have it perfectly understood, they are going to unfold the way they're going to unfold. Okay? And your understanding of it doesn't determine your stand with God, nor your friendship with him. I can think of saints in history here who have had a walk with God that I would love to copy, and they don't agree about some of these end time things. You know, there are saints who have done extraordinary things in faith. But they don't necessarily agree with one another about some of these end time things. So what I'm trying to say to you is, I can set before you an understanding or a framework of it, but I want you to understand that I absolutely refuse to tell you this is the only way to see it, okay? Because I don't think, A, that's I have that kind of place. I know I have responsibilities here, but I do not have the right to dictate to you what you must believe. And as I've said this before, this is being set before you, but you need to take it and see it and take it hold of it for yourself. Because what we're really after is that you would know the Lord. That's what we're really after, that you would know the Lord. Now, on the one hand, I think it's necessary that we have a framework at least to understand some of these things, like what is the tribulation? What is the rapture? What is all of that kind of stuff that we need to understand? And as I said to you, it's astonishing how people disagree about this stuff. I'm not saying everybody, but oftentimes there is this tone of, the only reason why you don't agree with me is because you're wrong. Okay? And the arrogance of that is striking to me. Now, I speak that as an expert at being arrogant. Okay, I have been in that place where our church, and certainly me as a leader of the church, not I came out necessarily and said it, but the way I thought is, they are wrong because they're not doing what we do. We are the ones who are right. Only to be shown up at the end, no. You don't have God's stamp of this is the way it is. And so I really mean it when I say I don't believe I have the right to dictate to you how things are. I can set before you a framework and let you then explore. And that I'm willing to do and I want to do, okay? But I do want you to say, I am not preaching this to you as if this is the only way. This is the only way. This is the only way. And if you don't agree with this, you're wrong. Because what I'm really after for you and for me is that you find out for yourself what God is like. You find out for yourself. When I say that, I don't mean we'll all end up at different places, but rather, I cannot take away from you the responsibility of you yourself pursuing the Lord. You know, one of the things I also find, and I admit this about myself, and I recognize that God has helped me to move past it, I like easy answers. I like easy answers. I like easy answers, and the scriptures don't always provide easy answers. Okay? Like, how can there be so much disagreement about a statement as simple as, well, is it now that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And if you've done any looking into it, you'll find there's lots of controversy about what that means. Okay? How can that be? How can that be that there's so much controversy over something like that? Well, I have to tell you, as I've said to you before, the scriptures are not mathematics. Okay? I would like to say, hallelujah, they're not mathematics, but you also know that I love mathematics, so I'm a little reluctant to say, hallelujah, they're not mathematics. My point is, you can't just read them like a recipe. right? If you have any kind of competence when it comes to cooking, if you're given a recipe, you can probably make something that looks something like the picture or comes out something like the thing that was given. The scriptures are not like that. They're written in such a way that you must be involved with Holy Spirit to be able to see what God is saying. And even then, I think the wise would say, this is what I see, but I don't mean to imply that's all there is. Okay? You have to recognize that people have the right to look and see and to judge. And because I don't think I'm the only one, we like easy answers, we hate that. No, just tell me what I'm supposed to believe and we're done. We're done. I like easy answers. And God doesn't necessarily provide them, because what he's really after is that you would pursue him. Okay? Let's be straight up. If I was the very best teacher that has ever walked the earth since Jesus and Paul, and we spent 16 hours a day in church meetings just talking about the scripture, and we did that for, how long does a person typically live now? 80 years on average? If we did that for 80 years, okay, will you have known everything there is to know about the living God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The issue is not how much do you know. The issue is pursuing him. Pursuing him. So, when I handle these things, I find myself torn between two things. On the one hand, I want you to at least have some understanding of it. But on the other hand, if there is no life in what we are talking about, how does it genuinely help you? If it doesn't help you this coming week to put your confidence more in God, how does knowing, does the rapture happen at all? Is it before the tribulation or after the tribulation? How does it help you? Do you see my dilemma? On the one hand, yes, we need to talk about this. On the other hand, how is talking about this actually helping you this week? Right? So I'm drawing my attention today to this passage here that talks about the resurrection, that we are going to be changed. Okay? So what are the things that we can factually say from this passage? We are not going to go to be with the Lord in these bodies. Okay? At some point in time, we're going to be changed. That's what he says. Right? And so he talks about that. You know, again, he deals with this issue of, is there a resurrection? Okay? And he deals with that pretty effectively and conclusively. And then brings us to, let me tell you, let me go back to that passage, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Let me use a different word than mystery, okay? Mystery is correct, but let me tell you a different word that better captures the sense of how we're to use that word. Let me tell you a secret. Okay, do you understand the difference? If we use mystery, you can be left at, let me tell you a, ooh, mystery. You can't really figure it out. That's not how the word mystery in the Greek is actually used. It is something that was hidden and could not be discovered unless God had revealed it and he's revealing it. Okay, so it's not like you can't know this, can't know about this at all. That's why we say mystery. Like, you know what, you know, oh, that's a mystery. You know, my car's not working. Well, that's a mystery. Right? Do we mean, oh, something that's been uncovered when we say mystery, the way we normally use the word? No, but that's how it's used here. So let's use the word, let me tell you a secret. In other words, not something that everybody automatically knows, but it is being made known to you. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's given us a fact. This is going to happen at some point in time. Okay? He doesn't talk about when, clearly, right? But he says this is going to happen. So what should you do about it, therefore? And that's what I want to draw your attention to. When we consider these things about the end times and all that kind of stuff, it has to have an effect on you today. Or we're just dealing with information. And please don't misunderstand. We need information. We need information. But what we need more is that information providing us with a basis to believe today. Something that causes us to put our confidence more in God today. Something that causes us to be involved with our assignment today. Are you aware, if you believed in Jesus, that you have an assignment? And it is more than wait around until everything happens that God says is going to happen. Okay, let me break that in two. Do you understand that you have an assignment? A. Yes? No? Maybe? Oh, I don't know. I'm not saying you may necessarily clearly know what the assignment is, but do you know that there are things that God wants you to do in this time? Okay? I understand you might not say, I've been called to become the president of the United States, or something like that, okay? I don't know why I chose that one. Not that anybody here is gonna has that as a possibility. If you're not a citizen of the United States, if you're not natural-born American, you can't be the president of the United States. God has called me to be a prophet, or God has called me to be an evangelist to this country. Okay, fair enough, you may not know that. But we've looked at scriptures that tell us, for example, we are appealing to you. Be reconciled to God. Why? Because we are ambassadors. Okay, we are ambassadors. So we have an assignment, right? And that assignment is more than, well, now that you're saved, well, just play it by ear and see how it goes, and eventually God will come and get you. Okay? No, it's much more specific than that. There's more that we can say about it than simply just live your life. Just get on with it. No. Let me just, for the sake of time, just stay rooted that whether you are called to lead a church or called to sweep the floor, whether you are called or what you see that you can do is, prophesy to leaders and tell them where they're going wrong, or whether it's simply every day in my room I pray because I don't know what else I can do. Right? I don't know what else I can do. I can't go out. I don't meet people, but I'll just pray. Okay? Whatever it is, there is something you've been given to do that you can do. We are each called to participate in what God wants to see happen on the earth in this time. Okay? And let me more properly phrase that. We are each granted the privilege of being involved with what God wants to do on the earth in this time. And it doesn't matter the size of the assignment or how clearly you know it, whether it's something grand and glorious that everybody recognizes or it's something that nobody knows about. Jesus sees. Okay? And what we face constantly is, I'll put it this way, but I want you to understand it's far more subtle. We constantly face pressure not to do it. To not bother with it, to not give yourself to it. It's not really, yeah, we need to go to church, but, something else comes up, I'm out of here. And we misunderstand why God would give us an assignment and why we need to be faithful with it. Okay? I want to say, when we talk about assignment, I would like to say the future of the kingdom of God is not riding on you. Okay? God has got this marvelous plan, and if you don't do it, everything is lost. This is not how God does things. It is much better to think in terms of how a parent would get their child involved with something, making cookies. Okay? Why does a parent get their child involved in making cookies? Because the parent cannot make cookies on their own? In my case, that may be the case. But do you understand that when a child bakes with their parent, it's not because the parent really needs the help? Why do you get your child involved with something? too much work for you to do? Honestly, in my experience with my kids, if I have too much work to do, I don't get them involved. Now I was getting to the point where my kids are old enough that they actually probably could do things faster than me. But I can't think of anything that I could do faster with them than if I get them involved. So why would I? Why would you? Why would you do it? Relationship. To get them to see something. I mean, in our case, believe it or not, I'm not going to be here forever. If things unfold the way they ought to, my kids will outlive me. There's going to come a time when I'm not around to help them, where I can't tell them, this is the wise way to go. Do this. This is the time that I have to do that. And so I get involved with them for that purpose. Relationship. To build something. To let them discover it. The excitement of it. That's how you ought to view God giving you the privilege of being involved with it. It's not like, Titus, if you don't speak to that person, they're going to hell forever. Yes, God's brilliant plan is counting on Titus to do the right thing at the right moment, or everything is lost for that person. Come on. I should say, there are probably brethren who think this way. But I want you to understand that that is not the grace of God. God gives you the opportunity, the privilege. Okay? I don't want to speak to what will happen to that person. I can't. But I know that God's love for that person is not bound by your obedience. So I figure God's got that covered, me being an idiot. Okay? Me being disobedient. Me rejecting things. But he gives me the privilege of being involved. And what I want to draw your attention to as we end here is this passage. Therefore. So he takes this instruction about resurrection and makes a therefore that is to result in something about how you do things. Okay? What does he say? He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? We're at the end, and I'm not sure that I can take next week to do more on this. But think about what that is saying. You face stuff that wants to derail your involvement with God in the outworking of things on earth. Okay? You face stuff that can be outright opposition. You know that we have brethren around the world who are thrown into jail or worse because they believe in the Lord. Okay? We don't live in a time like that here in this country. But we have brethren around the world who do. Okay? So it can be opposition like that. But it can also be just a love for the world. Right? I love the world. We're in church. We're not supposed to love the world. Okay? Now, I know to say that, but if you compare me and my affections and what I like to do with my time, and what I like to do with my friends, it's hard to tell the difference between me practically and somebody who doesn't even believe in the Lord. Okay? I want to make it clear, though, but I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, this is what it's like down here. I don't know if anybody else finds it that way. Right? There's so many things that want your attention, that want your affection, that want your involvement, right? And so God comes along and says, look, there is a future awaiting you. There is a promise. This is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you, whether you're having an easy time on earth or not, whether you're being persecuted for your faith in Jesus or not, whether you are diligent or not, this is coming. There is a promise from God that is coming. So therefore, be steadfast. Okay? He's using the revelation of what is to come to cause you to make a choice today. And it is a choice. And this is, on the one hand, it is the, I don't know that I can adequately give glory to this reality with my stupid words. On the one hand, it is the brilliance of God. On the other hand, it is the frustration of Titus that God will not make me do what he wants me to do. Get the choice. You get to choose. You get to choose. You get to choose whether you're involved with him to show other people this is coming. Will you be part of it or not? This is coming. The wrath of God will fall, and it will be right. You cannot have people dealing with other people the way they do and get off scot-free, and they think they do, but they're not going to. It is coming. Do you not see the grace of God extended to you in Jesus dying for you? Knowing how hard-hearted you are, he still chose to die for you. Won't you take his hand? Okay. This is coming. So, you who have put your trust in him, be steadfast. Hold fast. Hold fast. How does he put it? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? I'm going to ask a question. I'm not sure. Feel free to completely ignore me. For those of you who have been involved with God's work in some way, okay, I don't mean you were a pastor. I just mean you've met the Lord yourself, you've put your trust in him yourself, and you've tried to help other people in some way, shape, or form. Have you always gotten feedback that it worked? Okay, let me put it this way. 100% of the time, you've gotten some kind of feedback that said, God going, yes, well done, that's the way to do it. Or the person said, no, you're right, I'm a sinner, I need to repent right now. Or they said, thank you, even. Okay? You should only serve people as long as they say thank you. Right? Okay, so in view of that, what is your typical experience that when you do something that you understand God wants you to do, you immediately see it, the result of it? I see it most of the time. I see it sometimes. Actually, I have to say, there's so many things that I do that I have to work with myself to say, and yet, this pleases the Lord. Is that enough of a reason to do something? Well, he's saying, there are things coming, and God is not ignoring what you do, even in secret. It's worth it. So make the choice. Make the choice. The work of God, you know, in some cases, it's very prominent, and the person involved immediately sees the result. You know, Billy Graham, when he would say, he would preach his message and he would call people to come, thousands of people would come up in some of these places, right? Who do you think was more important? Billy Graham, or the person who told Billy Graham about Jesus' love for him, that you don't know the name of, probably? Who is more important? Well, you needed both, don't you? It's just that one is publicly known, the other is almost a secret, except to God. And so do what you do with a view to God being pleased. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. I always struggle with this instruction because I am torn between making people aware there are things that need to be done and coercing people to do them. And it is so essential that you understand this has to be your offering to the Lord. Your offering to the Lord. It has to be your offering. I mean, I could stand at the beginning of our service and say, okay, everybody stand up, put your hands up in the air, we're going to sing. Okay? I have the example from Scripture to do it, but I don't do it. Why? Which is more important, that everybody has their hands up, or that because you're responding to the Spirit, you want to put your hands up and you do it? Which is more important? What would you say? Well, obviously, we need everybody having their hands up. Because I don't know what it's like for you, but I'm standing out back here on the guitar, and everybody's got their hands down. It's very discouraging to me. So everybody needs to put their hands up, right? No. No. I would much rather you stay seated in your hands with your hands under your rear end and then respond to the Lord, however, than we give the appearance that we're something that we may or may not be. I want you to get this sense that God's involvement with you is personal, right down to the finest detail, but there are choices you have to make. There are things coming. It is going to be seen. Everything is going to be laid plain. All that was done will be made known. But while that is unfolding, you give yourself to the Lord and be involved with Him. Be involved with Him. Be involved with Him. Okay? May this at least stir you to consider. This coming week is a gift from God. I don't know what your weeks can be like, but I can get so overwhelmed with the stuff that I have to do that I feel paralyzed. But in reality, this week is a gift from God. And all the stuff that I have to do is actually an opportunity to see that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And that there are impossible things possible for me if I'm willing to believe Him. But I have to choose which mentality am I going to be filled with. God, what God said He's going to do? Or, I wish I could say I always choose the first. I'm often choosing, and I need to come out of it. But this is the grace of God towards us, right? This is the grace of God towards us. Okay, I'll stop there. I hope I haven't rambled too long and you at least get a sense of the spirit or the heart of what God wanted to get across. Your involvement with God is not insignificant, even if nobody else knows about it. In fact, in some ways, it is more precious when nobody else knows about it. Okay? That you would choose to do something, not for the reward of everybody sees it, but because it pleases your Father in heaven. That is precious. That is precious. So don't neglect, how does he put it in the scriptures? Don't despise the day of small things. Don't neglect the privilege of just doing something small for those who love God or for God himself, right? You know, you saying thank you in the midst of a difficult day, have you ever thought what effect that has on God? If I could put it that way, please don't misunderstand me. Okay? It's valuable to God. It's precious to God, right? This is how I want us to think. I am caught up in the privilege of being involved with Him. And everything else that comes, that's fine. But I'm caught up in the privilege of being involved with Him and learning to follow after Him and learning to be trained to hear what He says. Titus, turn left. Go talk to that person. That's what we're after. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just present ourselves. You've heard everything that is said, and now I ask you to capture, win us over to your heart about the ways of God and how they work. I just want to thank you for your great mercy again, for your loving kindness and your patience. Work with each one of us. And we just commit our day and our week into your hands. Glorify Jesus and what he has done. I ask you, Father, for this, that you would grant at least one of us, if not all of us, the opportunity to tell somebody about the love that God has for them in Jesus. And may they hear it and receive it and be saved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, thank you. We have, that reminds me. The coffee sign-up sheet has been sent out.